Comfort, comfort, ye my people. For unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
A lot of people my age like to say, it's not like I'm just for anything goes. I'm against abortion, so I'm pro-life. Marriage is different. Well, the reason they're able to say that today is that 40 years ago, when the pro-life movement came face-to-face with Roe v. Wade, they didn't give up.
The degree to which society can trump God and tell him that he has to shut up about his law makes it more and more difficult for the church then to proclaim a word of mercy and forgiveness.
They pull a bait and switch on people, bring them in the door thinking they're going into a non-denom evangelical church when in fact they're in a Lutheran church. The problem with bait and switch is there's usually a lot of bait and no switch.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
Now the headline itself is, it's interesting. Although it might not surprise you, you hear a headline like, newly discovered fossil could prove a problem for creationists. You would expect creationists to be somewhere in the story, or at least it to be about some sort of major claim of creationism being completely debunked by a newly discovered fossil. You discover that what's really here is creationists have been dragged into the headline for, reasons other than just clear reporting, an alleged, they call them transitional forms in the common parlance, missing link between creatures that dwelled in the sea and then on the land and then back in the sea again has been discovered. Does it strike at the foundations of the claims of creationism? And kind of a broader question is why, if evolution and paleontology is so firmly rooted in fact and thorough discovery, why do they need to keep taking pot shots at creationism? They seem kind of threatened a little bit. We're going to talk about a discovery of an alleged missing link fossil. Frank Shorwin will join us here for the first few minutes of the program. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Coming to you live this Friday afternoon, November the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll talk about two recent court rulings on same-sex marriage. One went for same-sex marriage here in this area in Missouri. And then the other one, surprisingly, went against same-sex marriage. We'll talk about both of those cases. Dr. George Williams will join us after that. We will remember on this Friday afternoon 16th century Lutheran theologian Martin Chemnitz, known as the Second Martin, for good reason. Chris Roseborough will be with us an hour or two. We're going to round up This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about the imminent disbanding of Mars Hill in Seattle and its satellites. We'll talk about Kenneth Copeland. Well, he's apparently exercised his spiritual authority over the Ebola virus, and we'll hear him do it. And then Beth Moore on the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Then, since it's Friday afternoon, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's four soundbites that we play for you. All you have to do is listen, and then you give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or to vote in advance for our Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever you're listening, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the discovery of an alleged missing link fossil, Frank Shorwin, a regular guest, research associate, senior lecturer, and science writer for the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas, co-author of the book The Fossil Record, Unearthing Nature's History of Life. Frank, welcome.
Todd, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
To set the context, can you give us kind of paleontology's track record for finding transitional forms between species?
Well, Todd, that's a very good question. Paleontology, of course, is the study of the fossil record. Either it's going to support the fish to philosopher, molecules to man idea, or it won't. And it's been very, very dismal ever since Darwin, since the fossil record is notorious for its lack of missing links or transitional forms. I think your typical paleontologist should be extremely cautious whenever there is made an alleged discovery of a so-called missing link. You know, Todd, as Michael Benton said in the fourth edition of his textbook published way back in the year 2015, Benton said this on page 39, and I quote, "A key question paleontologists always ask is whether the fossil record is good enough to tell the history of life, or whether it is hopelessly riddled with error." Period. "Opinions have wavered back and forth over the years," said Michael Benton, the evolutionary naturalist. And so what Dr. John Morris and I did in the book that you just mentioned, The Fossil Record, was published about 4 years ago, I wrote the appendix in regard to answering some of these so-called missing links on pages 129 through page 184. I never enjoyed so much writing a book as I did this book with John Morris, showing that even evolutionary naturalists using quotes from hostile witnesses showing that there are no transitional forms that are indisputable.
Okay, so what has been discovered, and how does the evolutionary model try and make it fit as a transition between one and another species?
Well, basically, what we find is the ichthyosaur, it's a fascinating marine reptile of what we would consider as creationist, the pre-flood world. It was created on day five and during the six-day creation week. Evolutionists, of course, maintain that the ichthyosaur supposedly evolved from a non-ichthyosaur terrestrial ancestor millions and millions of years ago. And so, supposedly, they have found one of these so-called missing links that would link the aquatic ichthyosaur with the land-based creatures. And this creature is called the Catarrhynchus leticarpus. And so that's a genus species name, and they're very excited about this new discovery.
Now, it's not as though they kind of like find the ichthyosaur at one level, and then they just dig straight down and they find his great-great-grandfather, this new alleged transitional form, then they dig farther down and find an older version of the same thing. This is based on a lot of, conjecture about the bones of the creature. Sometimes they have very little of the creature to deal with, the thickness of the bones, all these kinds of things. It's not as though these things come in a clearly cataloged form, right?
Correct. The science of paleontology, and this is a trade secret, is very subjective, especially if you're dealing with shattered remains of a fossil. You have to kind of fill in the blanks using your preconceived evolutionary ideas. If you believe that evolution is true, you're going to produce the rest of the so-called missing link or transitional form based on Darwin's theory of evolution. So you're using evolution to validate evolution, and that's why much of paleontology, not all of it, of course, is quite subjective. And so we're saying at ICR the fact that we have no incontrovertible transitional forms at all, that the evolutionist should be very, very careful and have a very cautious wait and see. The jury is still out concerning Catarrhynchus and in regard to, is it really a missing link that they would maintain?
Another thing that I think our listeners would be curious to know, and that is, usually when these things are reported, they're very little, and I'd say maybe in the last 10 years, they don't tip their hat to creation at all. They don't even acknowledge that it exists. Now, more and more as it's being reported, they're not only acknowledging that a creationist idea exists, they're actively trying to refute it. What's going on here?
Right. I appreciate what you said at the beginning of the show in regard to the fact that they're now mentioning creationists, and you can almost hear the sneer in the headlines. in regard to this so-called missing link. So the good news is they're acknowledging creation science as a formidable opponent to evolutionary naturalism. If it wasn't formidable, they would never have mentioned us in the first place. But it's also tragic in the fact that they never contacted any creationists, and they just simply put it up in the headlines that this challenges creation science. So whenever we're mentioned, of course, it's always in a denigrating, derogatory type style.
Does that amount to essentially a straw man, at least in the reporting that I've seen, essentially saying creationists claim this, they don't quote a creationist. They actually quote someone who is contrary to creationist views, and then they allegedly knock it down with their new fossil.
Exactly. I think it's a breath of fresh air. I had my years with ICRs, and I've been with ICR since 1996. I had one reporter contact me from National Geographic in regard to a so-called missing link, and so I was very appreciative that she at least called ICR to get our take on it. And it was still kind of slanted, but that's the only time in all the years that I've been with ICR that I've been contacted by the secular media to give the creation viewpoint.
Am I reading the report correctly that the categorization of this fossil as a missing link is based largely upon two features that they think they observe? That is, the nature of the creature's limbs and the shortness of the creature's snout. And that's enough data to report a missing link.
Well, and also they go with, for example, the thickness of the bone, and so they talk a lot about bone thickness and all, and they can go through and try and create or generate interest in regard to this being a valid missing link. But we at ICR and other, even secular paleontologists, I'm sure, are asking a series of questions regarding this Carterinchus genus name for this missing link. Does it have a hump on its back or a blade on its tail? I'm looking at the fossil right now. It's really hard to see. I can't see either the end of the tail because it's incomplete. I can't see the hump on the back, which is very characteristic of the ichthyosaur. Does it have a dorsal fin? What does the tail look like? How many presacral vertebrae does this particular fossil have? Because the typical ichthyosaur has about 40 cylindrical presacral vertebrae. Where did the rest come from? So these, I think, are very valid questions as we look at this so-called missing link.
Finally, in a general sense, if the model that the evolutionists use to describe the evolution of life on Earth were true, I'm just asking this as a layperson, wouldn't the fossil record be filled with transitional forms? Wouldn't they be easy to find rather than almost impossible to locate?
Well, my mentor, Dr. Gary Parker, is also a paleontologist and a creationist, and he said, you know, if it's true, you have this molecules to man philosophy that documents through the fossil record supposedly simple life forms, quote unquote, to the more complex life forms, then it should be a slow and a gradual process. As a matter of fact, evolutionists call it gradualism, and we should be very, very puzzled as to find out where one kind of animal leaves off and a brand new kind of animal begins, because it's a slow, gradual process. One animal slowly evolving through the alleged millions of years into a different kind of animal. But obviously, that's not what the fossil record shows. And the late Steve Gould and Niles Eldridge together put together in the mid-70s this infamous model called punctuated equilibria, where Stephen Gould admitted what creationists have been saying ever since Darwin, that the fossil record shows an abrupt appearance of these creatures, and then stasis, which is a fancy word meaning no change. And ironically, evolution means change. But we look to the fossil record and we see an abrupt appearance of fully complete animals with no change.
Frank Sherwin is research associate senior lecturer and science writer for the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas, co-author of the book The Fossil Record, Unearthing Nature's History of Life. You'll find a link to the Institute for Creation Research at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Frank, thanks for being our guest.
I appreciate it, Todd, and please keep in touch.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute, responding and getting her thoughts on two recent court rulings on same-sex marriage, one in Missouri going in favor, and the other more recently, well, going against We'll see what that's all about right after this.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lunchforthebunch.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org, shop online, cph.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.